We welcome Sharon Weaver as our speaker today. Sharon joins us each month, and we always look forward to her message. Sharon earned a master's degree in divinity at Vanderbilt University, and she has held work positions as a teacher, social worker, and college professor. Sharon currently operates a consulting company called Spiritual Care Providers, and she will speak on the topic, Captaincy, Sailing Your Own Boat. Let's welcome Sharon.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, everyone. It's so good to be home. Good to be back. What a wonderful group to arrange to speak with. The title, of course, of what I'm speaking about today, Captaincy, Sailing Your Own Boat. And I come in and there's the Blue Boat song, which I love, you know. And then we're talking about, you know, Christopher Cross's song with the boats, and we have that imagery of sailing throughout, and the power, the captaincy, the woman taking power over her own life, even though there were rough waters for her all along, you know, in the children's story. And so it's so wonderful. I just want to say thank you, how everyone tries to integrate. And so this message today is about integration, although when at first read sometimes it might not sound that way. When I'm talking about captaincy, I'm talking about truly finding the strength within and taking power over your life. And it can sound, and it might sound, that we're all just independent sailing on the sea, you know, and some people think we are, and in some sort of race, you know, competing against one another. And I'm going to use the book, Crossing the Unknown Sea, Work as a Pilgrimage of Identity by David White. It's a 2001. It's a good book if you haven't read it. It applies to work, and it's his story. He uses poetry, and he's a very good storyteller. He uses story throughout to talk about life and work. But I'm taking only part of it today to talk about the term he uses, captaincy, and his experience on a boat, and how it altered his life. And so we'll start there. David White found himself on a boat called Bronzewing, and he was a young research assistant who had been working on the Galapagos Islands, okay? And there are dangerous waters around that island and rough seas sometimes. But he'd been on the Bronzewing long enough to see a change of captaincy. Captain's changing. So he intros the story talking about how one night he woke suddenly. And what woke him was a change in the motion of the boat. So there were no alarms. He sensed a change in the motion of the boat. Now, as I'm describing the story, I want you to try to relate it to different things in your life. So a change in the motion of our life, a change in the motion of our relationship, of our soul, of our work, or whatever. But he's awakened to a change in the motion of the boat. And he said he knew immediately that the boat was adrift. And this was at night. And he said the thought crossed, where's the captain? But he didn't have time to check. He immediately ran up to the deck and saw that they were about 2 miles, looked like, from where they had anchored. And he rushed immediately to do what he needed to do, because in the next glance was to see the dangers coming at them, the cliffs or the rocks where they would have certainly crashed, he said, and it would have been over. It would have been over for all of them. So he threw the boat into reverse. And he said there was that moment where he wasn't sure that it was going to work. And then that relief as it sailed backward in the direction it needed to go to get out of the danger. And he said the time that he could breathe, you know, you have that moment of, okay, we made it, was the time that the new captain ran up, he had been asleep, and ran up top to see that this research assistant not even a sailor by nature, had saved them. And the other crew member, Carlos, ran in to see at the same time, just looked at the situation, and he said he knew. He knew. And they never spoke of it. They never spoke of it. They went back to doing what they needed to do. Nobody said anything, but they all knew that the captain had failed. And so that's where the story takes place, and a lot of the rest of the book and his understanding of coming to understand himself better and the world and what we're called to do and be. So I want us to think about that, you know, on our life. So we look around and someone has failed us. Someone has failed. And he said to himself, you know, how could he have failed as a captain? Aren't you supposed to inhabit that role of captain, like a parent who never really quite ever sleeps soundly again once the baby's there, because they're always listening. Aren't you supposed to inhabit that role? So a couple of things happened. He began to think about it. Oh, I've put my glasses. I have to have these glasses to see here. And so, and about what it meant to fail, about what it meant to inhabit it. And you think about captaincy. Captaincy is leadership. Captaincy is the guide that's getting us through. The person, our persons, our organizations that we rely on. The presidency, if it's our government. And what we expect the president to do. What we would expect the captain to do. Remember when there was a ship that crashed that went, I guess it's a went ashore in Italy? It's been, what, a year or so ago? And the captain left the ship. People were still on it, and he got out of there. And that upset so many people. It's like, you're supposed to stay with the ship until you see that every last crew member, every last person is off the ship. And you got off. Like, well, there's nothing else we can do. You know, everyone for themselves. And so part of that, even though there were lots of other pieces and parts where there were failure, that was the audacity, you know, not being a captain, a true captain, that you would put the concerns of others there. So how dare this man sleep? New captain that he was. He didn't do anything wrong in the sense of it wasn't like he was intoxicated, he wasn't irresponsible in that other way. He grew tired and he slept. And so the criticism was, how could you not awaken when you needed to? How could you not know if you're a captain? How could you not know if you're a parent? Aren't you always alert? Yet parents are human, right? And tire. Young captains are captains tire, and new captains have to learn as well. New captains going into a new crew. So he began to think about this, and he said what he realized is that the old captain, which had been, he had been advanced, he moved to a bigger, better ship or whatever. You know, we hear about, you know, people moving on to bigger, betters. That the old captain had actually, and he didn't use this word, but had actually enabled them to rely too heavily upon him. He was such a good captain. And that's what, how he compared him to this other captain. You, new captain, you failed us and almost cost us our life. The old captain would never have done that. And so he began to think about the fact that he lulled them into this sense of security, a false sense of security. Sort of that enabling activity that we do sometimes with those we love and we want to keep so very safe. We know that in ourselves, we know that in others, don't we? We actually end up kind of crippling, or damaging, or disabling children, spouses, friends long term when we don't let them have the hard lessons of life? When we are always constantly doing for someone instead of helping them learn to do? Anyway, he began to think along that time, and then he realized what had happened, and what was really so scary is he had not claimed the captaincy in his own life. He had, out of emergency, he ran forth and helped. But he and the other crew member knew. And so when he really thought about it, he thought they had relinquished their power to the new captain because he was captain, had that title and the role captain. And he said, when we laid down anchor that night, Carlos and I knew the storms, the waters were choppy enough that we should lay a second anchor. But we didn't, because he was the captain. He said, now many has been the time that a crew under a new captain would have laid the second line and not said anything. So it's not about trying to show up the captain. It's not about usurping a chain of command. It's not about showing how much you know. It's about doing what's best for that organization, for that family, for your relationship, for yourself in the end, for that crew. Heck, if we don't do this, we could sail off into the rocks. So he began to think about it, and he realized that he had not taken captaincy of his own life. And he said he recalled this story once where there was an admiral who had retired, a U.S. Navy admiral had retired. And the admiral shook his head as he told the story. And he told him afterward, he said, the first thing he said to me was, a good crew never lets a new captain fail. Recognizing that it is all of us in our own captaincy that takes the control to help, that helps, if you will, that takes control of our life and control of our knowledge and control of our abilities and shares it in a way that we lift others up, not compete necessarily, but to help that captain, to teach. And that's sometimes a hard lesson. So I want to examine this story. He goes on and he talks about it in work. He talks about it in life. He shares the story of a doctor who was very tired and had prescribed a drug, powerful drug, for a child who was in hospital, and had written the prescription, or written the amount of medicine that's supposed to be given, had written it off by one decimal point. Oh, yeah. You know, and you go, it's a dot. But we know how important those dots can be. Had written it off. So the nurses, one was a very competent and skilled, experienced nurse, saw that and showed the other nurse on duty and said, look, I think this is wrong. That's, you know, and they said, but he's the doctor. Well, let's ask another doctor. And they ask another doctor, and the doctor said, no, that doctor's right. So here's this nurse knowing that that is wrong. She's consulting the captains and feeling like, well, what choice do I have? And she gave the dosage and the child died. Now, he talks about, without making fault of everything, he talks about the chance that there was there had she embraced her captaincy. It's not just about checking with others and CYA your own self. And that's not what was happening with the nurse. But it's that understanding, that claim to captaincy, to owning that your own responsibility and your own feelings and your own worries, concerns, knowledge, enough to say, no, this is wrong. You may give that dosage, but let it go in the record. This is wrong. Well, why wouldn't she do that? What would have happened, maybe? She could have been wrong, maybe. What tends to happen is sometimes people that don't make those decisions, or sometimes people who do not feel empowered, doubt their own self. And do we all not have self-doubt? If you don't think you do, ask yourself, did you turn the iron off? Did you lock the door? If you sit here long enough and I kept asking you, did you lock the door? Are you sure you locked the door? You know, you didn't lock it the other day. You can feed yourself that doubt, so you will doubt yourself. And especially if you are in a position where you rely on someone else to take the responsibility of making decisions. They said to do this. I'm just reading it. Do this, do this, do this. I'm just reading it. Do this, do this, do this. So just as the crew of the ship did not take responsibility to help that captain, it was just as much their fault had the ship been wrecked as the captain. So what happened in the nurse's situation and the physician's situation? Two physicians were lost, and two nurses, and more importantly, a child's life, and the child's family. And it reverberates on out. So sometimes the safe thing to do, follow orders, follow directions, if it is not the right thing to do. So part of what David White is doing, part of what I want to draw out, is to understand captaincy is to understand yourself, to trust yourself, your judgment, to check with others. That's where we'll talk about reliability in there in just a minute. To trust that instinct, to trust that feeling, to trust your knowledge base enough to check, to recheck, and then to be unafraid to take the risk of saying what you think to be proper, the right case, etc. He gives another example of a friend of his who is a CEO at a company in California. And the CEO was being bullied. I'm sorry, not that he wasn't a CEO. He was an underling under a CEO who was bullying him. He was a consultant, an organizational consultant. And the CEO was a bully and was pretty horrendous. And he did not confront the CEO. He did not tell him a lot of the bullying. Let me back up. A lot of the bullying had to do with the fact that the organizational consultant was going to have a sex change. And if you know anybody and know anything about that, it takes time off from work. It takes a lot of intense changes in work, and it's not an easy thing. But he was afraid to tell. He was afraid to own up to that, because what if the CEO told all his CEO buddies all over California and he could never get a job again? Kind of blackballed, as the phrase used to be. And he says, and he talks to David White about it, and he said what he realized, because he did this in his own organizational life and he taught this, is that he knew that he had to face it. He had to at least know what the fears were. Why didn't he tell this man, look, this is what I'm doing, this is what's going on? He was afraid of what would happen, what might happen. Now, we've all been there. And I like the phrase, you don't want to rock the boat, right? Isn't that appropriate for that? We don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to tell someone something. I don't want to, you know, I'll just status quo it. I don't want to upset anyone, because they might not like me anymore. They might want to leave me. I might be fired. I might never be promoted. People will talk about me and they'll never use my business, or they'll never trust me to have leadership in the church, or they'll just think bad about me and talk about me. Sometimes people are frozen because of that. It's the quintessential, what would people think? And in some cases, it's very real. He could have and did share eventually with the CEO, but it could have been more problematic for him. But he went on to say, you know what I realized is I had to at least understand my fears. I had to identify them and understand them. I didn't necessarily have to overcome them. The first thing I had to do was understand them and identify them, the first things. So he didn't stop. It didn't stop him dead in his tracks and figure out how to overcome this fear, how to conquer every fear you have. That's wonderful. I'm not saying don't attack some of them if they're debilitating. But he is saying, if you're going to captain your own ship, then you have to be aware of what you're afraid of. The consequences of not being liked, accepted, chastised, losing a job, because these are real. David White would tell you, these are real fears. But then the consequences of living a life where you're not your captain, of living a life that's false, if you will, are greater, is what he believes. That's hard. Just like Carol Sue, I'm glad you added that at the end for these young women that you spoke with today. You said it's hard. We don't like those words. I don't necessarily like those words either. It's difficult. So captaincy, when we're talking about captaining and sailing your own boat, and captaincy, first of all, is about looking at ourselves and how we view leaders and how we view captains in our lives. We like to sort of, we being me and all of us, really be hard on them, right? It's very difficult. I wouldn't have a presidency job. I wouldn't have a job like that. I wouldn't have that role if I had to in some ways, because at the same time we want them up on a pedestal, it's so we can get a better aim. Yes, stick your head up. We're so proud of you. Now, where's that rotten tomato? Okay. Yeah, who do you think you are? Ooh, look, they have a girlfriend and they're married. They have an addiction. They have a daughter or wife's addicted. They have money issues. They waffle, you know. Gee whiz, they're probably just like the rest of us and all our failings. But they're not supposed to be, because they're leaders and we're followers. No, who wants that? And if you follow this line of thinking in David White's book, if we're throwing the tomato at them, we should cast it back at us. It's our fault, right? We enable. We just want to turn over all responsibility to them. Gun control problems. Well, what's the matter with that? Why is Obama not doing all the stuff he's supposed to do? I don't know, he's not my captain. He might be driving the boat for the country. He might be being the captain for the country. But he's only as good as the crew, right? Now you think about what kind of crew the man has. I'd be abandoning ship. Oh my gosh, can't get anything done. Bush was not my captain. Whoever's next elected will not be my captain. There will be somebody that I hope, if I'm on the crew in the sense of a citizen, that I will be vocal in my support or my criticism. And that's where we fail sometimes, as in our understanding of what it means to be a citizen. We are to criticize in the sense of offer suggestions and help and say we don't like when we see something that's going on. You know, I shrug my shoulders with the guns and trunks and go, it's Tennessee, you know, it's Tennessee, you know. But here's the problem with that. If I just say, well, I'm just in Tennessee, that's, you know, I can't help it, they have the guns and trunk law or whatever. If I'm not vocal about my displeasure, if I'm not doing something to alter that or making at least people aware of that, it won't change. And so what is happening is the boat of Tennessee is adrift. Then the boat of the country is adrift, and the boat of the world is adrift. Because I am part of the crew
to that universe. Am I not, Carol Sue? That's where people, I don't mean to pick on Carol Sue. It's like, oh, Carol Sue had the story. Here, yeah, that is, happy birthday. But that's really the point of what he's getting at, is that interdependent web that we talk about in our principles. That you must captain, we are called to captain our own ship, our own self. And that questioning, I grew up a United Methodist and I always loved it. Question authority used to, at least, be such a part of what they were, question authority. You'd see that with the Methodist Church flame on it. It was question authority and question it. Question, ask questions, you know. To say, well, are you sure that's the right dosage? I don't think so. I'm not going to give it then because I really don't think so. Look at this again. If that person doesn't get it, look again. I'm dropping a second line. I don't know about you guys, but I'm dropping a second line. What's it going to hurt? We'll sleep tight tonight. You know? Yes, disasters may come that no one sees, but we're crewing this blue boat, right? We're on this blue boat, and we're all together. So that's the point in claiming our own responsibility. Yes, we can critique captains. We can critique leaders. But when we do, part of the blame comes back on us if we've let that go of our responsibility in it. And we cannot maybe empower, we're empowered to a point, yes, I can't just go to Washington and say, excuse me, Congress, I have something to say. Sometimes people can, and the last time I learned or heard, they worked for us in theory. But I can grassroots it, right? We know what that phrase means. I can start. I can talk, I can join, I can walk. I saw where there's a NAMBI walk coming up. I can get out there, I can support it in some way. I want you to think about the captaincy of your life, the captaincy of your relationships. There can be great danger in not supporting one another and also knowing about how to do things. I know this congregation, this group of wonderful people, you know, I know there's storms you all have had to weather, but you're always stronger when you're pulling together and lifting up. So if someone's new in a position or something new is happening, to help, you're the crew. That's just it. Remember, you are the crew for this group. I want to thank you again today. I'm going to leave you with just a quick poem. This is by David White. By the way, this book's full of lots of wonderful poems and bits of poems of his own and other people's. But still on the ocean there is no path, only the needle's trembling dance north, followed without fear, though the dance now is fear and calmness in one movement, seeing as you look not only the angry sea of what you have denied, but here, near at hand, in the center of your body, the rose fire of the compass blossoming with every direction. Hopefully a very positive end to the ability we have to captaincy our own lives. Thank you so much.